Hi, everybody. Recruiting Animal Show. That was in honor of Barack Obama getting elected, that song. Anyway, Rage Against the Machine. I think that's who they are. Anyway, today at 1 o'clock, Maureen Sherub will be here to answer your questions about telephone sourcing. You know, telephone sourcing is probably the most important part of recruiting, but no one ever calls in and asks for free advice. I can't say I understand it, but we're going to be there. So if you want advice, give us a call. Anyway, I want to talk about Malcolm Gladwell. He just put out a new book. He's a Canadian like me, and he tries to look cool. He really tries to look like Bob Dylan around 1965, but really, take a good look at him. What he looks like is somebody out of the Cat in the Hat. In fact, he looks like the Cat in the Hat, but everybody's talking about his book. It's going to be a really big seller. Here's the main premise. Even naturally talented people need practice to become really good at what they do. That's pretty simple, pretty obvious, but sometimes the obvious has to be pointed out again and again and again and again, and that's why I'm going to remind you today that 99% of the people who go around boosting Gen Y are just plain dumb. Now listen to this. Barack Obama's victory is the best example yet of the growing influence of Generation Y in America and the world. Gen Y, this is the key line, the money line. Gen Y is smart, diverse, energized, socially and politically aware, and able to use the internet to do pretty much anything. Pretty much anything. What does that mean? Nothing to me. And you know why? I don't think the average person is well-informed politically, no matter how old they are. And I don't think they ever will be. And you know why? Too much work. It's too much work. If Generation Y is so busy getting well-informed, who's watching Access Hollywood? The old guys? The boomers? You know what? They're not selling Depends on that show. Look at the ads. You tell me who's watching. Anyway, here's another charge from me. Gen Y isn't so diverse either. When people talk about Generation Y, who are they talking about? Middle-class people with college educations who are thinking about their careers. That's it. And here's something else. Here's something else. When people talk about Gen Y, they never tell you stories like this. Queen's University is one of Canada's top universities. It's right across the lake pretty well from Rochester in the United States. Maybe you know where that is. Anyway, every September they have a big homecoming party, and a few thousand old students, alumni or alumni, whatever you call them, they come there and they walk around the football field at halftime during the game, and they're pretty proud. Anyway, yesterday, they had to cancel this annual event indefinitely because the students who are there now, they like to get drunk and wreck things. And this past September, a customer at a submarine shop was attacked and put into a coma, and he woke up after a month, but he's still going to have brain damage. But here's the point. This was a Gen Y event because the students, they put out the word on Facebook that this is going to be a big drunken brawl, and people came from all around. Isn't that great? That's Gen Y for you. So it's possible. Oh, boy, sorry. It's possible that the student, I'm getting tired. It's possible this guy who put that innocent bystander into a coma was smart, diverse, energized, socially and politically aware, and able to use the internet to do pretty much anything, but he was also a goof, and they forgot to mention that, and he wasn't the only one. I'm sorry, Gen Y boosters, I hate to rain on your parade, you know I do, but that's the truth. Anyway, that brings me to our guest for today. He's smart. He's diverse. He's energized. He's socially and politically aware, and he's able to use the internet to do pretty much anything. And you know what? He's not in Gen Y. I'm pretty sure he's not in Gen Y. His name is Charles Krugel, and he's a labor and employment lawyer in Chicago. And just in case you're wondering, hey, how did the animal get a guy like that, a lawyer, on his show? Well, he called me. That's right. He called me. And you know why? I'll tell you why. Because I'm the recruiting animal. And this is the Recruiting Animal Show!
Has such teeth there, and it shows them pearly white. Just a jackknife has my teeth bare.
Okay, you got the point. I put that on for you. Charles Krugel, are you there?
Yes, how are you, Michael?
That's a song for you. You're a
Thank
lawyer?
You.
You're
By
a lawyer.
A quick note
Listen,
for you.
If I had a name like Krugel, let me turn that music off. I thought it was low enough that it would. Oh, it's off. Okay. Listen, if I had a name like Krugel, you know what I'd be doing? I'd be building a search engine. That's what I'd be doing. How come you're not?
Hey, a quick note about Rage Against the Machine. Your lead guitarist is from Chicago.
I don't know what you're talking about. Oh, the machine. I don't know what you're talking about. Listen.
Rage Against the Machine. Their lead guitarist is from Chicago, too.
What machine? What are you talking about?
All right.
Did anybody understand him? I don't want to. Just put that to the side. I got a question. You know, I woke up around 4 o'clock this morning. I'm really tired. I don't know anything about legal issues, which puts me in an awkward position. So I'm counting on you to make this show interesting. You're going to carry the ball. So I want you right now to tell us, on a scale of 1 to 10, how interesting the show's going to be. If my guess, if the callers, if they think it's going to be boring, if you score yourself a 4, they can just leave now, and they won't have anything to complain about to me later.
Well, see,
but if it's good, they'll know they can stick around, and I can blame you if anything goes wrong. Come on.
Start out with a 5.
5? Come on, Charles, I didn't want to talk about this at the start, but I know you're kind of a publicity hound. You do tons of interviews, right?
Yeah, that's right, I do.
Okay, you know what? Do you talk loud in those other interviews? Can they hear you in those other interviews? Because I can't hear you.
You can't hear me?
Can anybody hear him? Let's go to the couch. You know, there's a few people here. Okay, Charles, what's your area code?
It's 31. Well, I'm calling from the 847 area code right now.
Okay, so that's you. Area code 513. Is that Maureen Shareeb?
That's me.
Charles, I can hear Maureen. Can she hear you?
I can hear her.
Maureen?
I can hear him.
Yeah, faint or loud?
Medium, not
okay,
either.
Charles, are you on a headset?
No, I'm not.
Okay, you know, but shout a little. You pretend you're in court shouting at a hostile witness. Okay.
We'll do that.
Area code 260. Is that Jerry Albright from verbalsummary.com?
Living the dream.
Jerry, I didn't tell you. I didn't tell you, Charles, that Maureen Shareeb is the queen bee of telephone sourcing. You're on the phone with some of the machers in this business, okay?
All right.
Area code 770. I think that's the executive restaurant recruiter. Am I right?
You would be right, animal.
There we go. Say hi to Charles.
Hi, Charles.
Hi, how
okay.
are you?
Okay. He's fine. Area code 314, last person who's here right now. Do you want to say hello?
Yo, yo, what's up?
I don't know. Who is it?
Durbin. Big D Durbin.
Oh, hey. Hold on a sec. Do you want to do it right now? Do you want to? This guy's got a little song he wants to sing for Charles. Do you mind if he, you know, you could edit this when you send it to your friends. Do you
sure.
want to do it now or later, Jimmy?
Let's hear from. I want to hear from the lawyer.
Okay,
all
because
right.
we can hardly hear you anyway. Are you on your way to a meeting like you said you were going to be?
Yeah, I was on speaker.
Okay. Area code 608. I'm trying to open you up. Do you want to say hi before we get to the business? 608. You want to say hi?
Hey, it's Julia Stone.
Julia, first-time visitor, right?
Correct.
Hey, very nice. I met
Hey, Michael. Michael, we're running a chat along this over on RBC.
Yeah, okay, fine, fine, fine. Just say hi to Charles, Julia, and I'm going to start asking him the questions.
Hello, Charles.
Hi, how are you?
Okay.
I'm Ever, great.
You ready, Charles, now?
I'm ready.
I did that so you could warm up, so you could relax. We want to raise that score from, you know, 5 to 7 at least. Now, listen, Charles.
Okay.
You're from Chicago. Am I right about that?
That's correct.
Do you know Bill Ayers?
No, I've never met him.
What about Jeremiah Wright?
Never met him either.
That's what everybody in Chicago says. They never met him.
Rahm Emanuel.
Rahm Emanuel. Never met him either.
What about Oprah? Come on, Oprah. You got to know her.
Never met Oprah. Never met Tony
Leslie.
You
don't know anybody, do you? I thought inviting you on this show, we'd be really tapped into the White House. But listen, there's a reason for that question. Are you ready, Charles?
Sure.
Do you like being called Chuck or Charles better?
Chuck's fine. You put Chucky on the website.
Yeah, I didn't think you'd see it. Sorry.
That's
called Chucky
like
until
the movie.
Age of, I was called Chucky until the age of 13 anyway, so.
That's good. Okay, I like Chucky. I was going to put the picture of the puppet up there, but I put your own picture.
Then he got big enough that people don't call him Chucky anymore.
Okay, I like the name Chucky. Anyway, listen, if I didn't want to hire Bill Ayers because he was a terrorist, is that legal? I could say I'm not hiring that guy?
You cannot hire him based on his past. Based on his behavior, yeah, what he's exhibited in the past. You couldn't hire him if he wasn't, I mean, that would be discriminatory if you were basing it on just arrest alone. But based on his past behavior, you can.
Hey, he blew up places in the United States, and not only that, he had his picture, you know, in, 2001 or wherever, stomping on the American flag. He's unrepentant. Can you say, I don't want to hire a guy like that because of his political opinions?
Yes, you can. At least in the U.S., yes.
Wow. What about Jeremiah Wright? I could say, hey, I don't want to hire this guy. He hates America. Could I refuse to hire him on that basis?
Yeah, based on his past remarks about America, you could. I'd avoid getting into his religious beliefs.
Okay, well, I guess with him, I understand what you're saying. They might be tied together, his religious beliefs and his political beliefs, but I didn't know that. What about this one? What about Michelle Obama? She said she hasn't been proud of her country until now. I'm sure she's very proud now, but a few months ago she wasn't. So could you say, I don't want to hire her for, you know, running, she was running some kind of hospital association at the university or something like that. Could you turn her down?
You mean turn her down on the basis of working for U of Chicago Hospital?
No, on the basis of she said she wasn't proud of her country.
Oh, wasn't proud. Yeah, you could... Yeah, you could restrict her. Yeah, you cannot hire her for that reason.
That's unbelievable. But you, let's say if she's a Democrat and you're a Republican, can you say I don't hire Democrats?
You could. You could, but I wouldn't say that out loud. I mean, that's something I should quiet.
Could you ask her if she's a gun owner?
I'm sorry?
Could you ask her if she's a gun owner and not hire her because she's a gun owner?
You could fire her because, you probably could. There's probably good basis for doing, you probably could. I think the law would uphold that.
Wow. That's
really?
Unbelievable. Is anybody else surprised?
I'm blown
really
away.
Surprised.
It's called employment.
Could you ask her what her medical history is and what kind of medical treatment she's receiving at present?
You're stealing my questions. Hold on, Maureen. I just want to bring in Gene. I just
want to answer Maureen's questions.
Charles, I'm in charge, okay?
All right,
Gene from Navotas. Gene from Navotas is here. There's a guy calling from Texas just to listen to you, right? Gene, are you there?
That's right.
Say hi to Charles.
Hi, Charles. How you doing?
Pretty good, Gene. How are you?
Okay.
Good,
now,
thanks.
Maureen, just hold your horses, okay? I'm going to get into that kind of stuff.
Okay.
Charles.
Yeah.
I was afraid you were asleep with the wheel animal.
Yeah, does it sound like it? This guy said he was going to make the show a 5. I have to take the responsibility back. Look,
it's
Charles,
a 10 so
coffees?
Far.
How many coffees do you drink a day, Charles?
I'm a tea drinker.
How many teas
then?
I don't know, like 100 glasses.
Really?
I don't know.
He wants to live forever.
I inject it into my veins.
Let me ask you this. Are you on any of the antidepressants like Prozac or anything like that?
Not that I'm aware of.
Not that you're aware of, but if I asked you that, is it legal for me to ask? Maureen, is that your question?
Yes.
No, that would more likely be illegal.
That's one of the 63 questions.
Yeah, it would be. That's more likely to. That tends to discriminate on a basis.
But that's one of the 63 questions that they're asking candidates.
Where is the Obama White
Obama
House
thing?
Yes, on the Obama White House thing.
Well, you could ask them if they waive their right to maybe under HIPAA, or if they waive any right to the, you know, for disclosure. You could.
I don't think they ask them that. They just ask them, are they under any kind of medical treatment at present?
Yeah, those,
and to tell them about their medical history.
Politicians live by different rules. You got to remember, politicians write the rules. They can do whatever they want.
I guess.
Well, also under, maybe that could be under government under GS Government Service Administration rules, possibly. But I would think that they're signing some sort of waiver ahead of time, or some sort of disclosure regarding that they have to disclose their medical history.
So if I fill out those 63 questions that are listed on the web and send them in, they're going to send me a disclosure after I fill everything out?
They might. I'm
trying to get a job at the White House, Maureen.
Actually, those questions are only for cabinet and high-level appointments. If you're just a regular Joe, you get a totally different application.
Oh, really? Okay, that
explains it. The federal government tends to be exempt, or the U.S. federal government tends to be exempt from most labor and employment laws. So,
oh, really?
How convenient.
Like that.
Yeah.
Not like that.
Just ask
region.
Charlie Rangel.
Yeah.
Just set the rules, folks.
Hold on, you guys. Why is it that the federal government in the United States is exempt? For security reasons?
No, actually, I think it's because the Congress who wrote those laws are attorneys themselves, and they wanted to protect themselves. It's political, largely.
Doesn't
you mean
it all go back
like...
to Title VII of the Civil Rights Act, though, really? And
yeah,
anything that's not in there, you can... I mean, you can discriminate based on anything other than race, color, religion, sex, or national origin.
Generally, that's correct. In Illinois, we call, or a lot of northern states in the U.S., it's called employment of will. Generally, you could restrict, you could fire somebody for any reason, any time, with or without cause or notice.
Mm-hmm.
Really? Okay, let's get to, I want to talk more about hiring. We're not really on the firing end as recruiters.
Yeah.
But let me ask you a question for Charles. Are you married?
No, I'm not. I'm single.
Is it okay if I ask you that question?
It's too late
in a
now.
Job interview? Now? In a job interview, probably not, but now it's
That's
okay.
What I mean. That's what I mean, Charles. I'm giving you the questions that I want to know if they're okay to ask other people when I interview them.
And I'm giving you a blanket waiver of all my rights.
No, I don't want you to blanket waiver me, okay? I want you to play the game. We're
all
on
right.
a show. Get it. Come on. Listen.
Is only Charles allowed to answer right now?
No, you guys, but just don't answer at the same time. I just want to announce his website, charlesakrugel.com. Charles, we all know. A, the letter A, KRUGEL.com. There's no dots around the letter A. You know, like that guy William who puts all those dots in his name. It's the most moronic thing. Or Delicious used to have the dots in the URL. Could never remember where they were. But Charles, Krugel is hard enough. You want an easy domain name. Why on earth did you put your initial in there? Tell me, eh?
Ignorance.
Okay, well, that's a good answer, isn't it, everybody?
Good answer.
Okay, did Jerry say you want to? Do you want to ask Charles a question?
Yeah, more along the lines of the questions you can ask. It's my understanding, though it might not be very smart, you can ask anything you want.
Yeah,
it's what you do with that information. I can ask a guy if he's gay.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And the problem is avoiding inferences of discrimination or some sort of bias.
I have hired gay people, by the way.
Congratulations.
Up there. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Yeah, no, yeah.
Wrong with
right.
it. I love it.
I have many friends
okay.
who are gay.
You don't want to get me kicked off the show. Okay, listen, off Blog Talk Radio. So you can ask somebody those questions? I don't believe that's true.
Yeah, actually,
it
is
true.
Yeah,
if only we had a lawyer on the phone, we could ask him.
Yeah, well, why don't you let the lawyer talk, smart guy? Come on, Charles.
I'm going to remove myself for a minute, and I'll let
sure.
you just have at it.
From a legal standpoint, it is legal. The problem is that those types of questions tend to lead to inferences of bias or discrimination, and it's those biases which themselves are illegal. If you tend to exclude people on the basis of any of those protected classes. That's what's illegal.
Okay, so if
so you can ask the guy if he's gay as long as you hire him? That's pretty much the if you ask him, you should plan on hiring him just to be safe?
The problem with the analysis of this is that's all after the fact. So when you're actually doing this, none of it is – the analysis all comes after the fact based on what you're doing with the information, the purposes of it, and also a number – sometimes it comes down to numbers crunching. Did you hire 5 gay people and exclude 200 gay people or something like that? I mean, you know, by hiring only a smaller percentage of a larger pool of gay applicants, maybe you are discriminating.
You'd almost have to track that, though. You'd have to ask everybody the same questions, right?
Absolutely right. That's exactly right.
Or if they're Christian, or if they're
you'd have to ask everybody the same exact questions, probably put it in the same exact context, and probably have the same person asking the questions each time too. And
why?
Still, that wouldn't guarantee. It still wouldn't guarantee that you're not doing anything illegal, because after you crunch the numbers, you know, after you do the analysis after the fact, that's really what's going to be the telling. That's really what's going to be the indicator of whether or not you've done something
illegal.
But
you don't really know what made up those numbers. That might have just been a coincidence, right, that you were hiring less of the protected people. Is that right?
It could be, yeah.
But you won't have the objective proof to back you up in that case, right?
Not necessarily. That's what makes these cases so difficult.
And in fact, that you're going to get into trouble for that, or theoretically you can, even if you don't ask those questions. If someone suspects that you're biased against him or her, they could say, "I, he didn't give any signs of bias, but I believe he's biased, and we have to go and check his records." Is that right?
Yeah, that's absolutely right.
Okay. Now,
that's why
I
don't keep any record of any of it.
Some people claim that's a valid defense. Some people claim that's a good practice.
What, keeping an audit of the people you hire?
No, not keeping any records whatsoever.
Okay, but, you know, if you don't ask somebody a lot of these questions, you don't even know the answers, right?
That's right.
So the thing is, if you do ask a question like this, then people see red. I mean, they'll sue you even if they don't have a right to sue you. Am I right about that?
You're right. They can still. There's nothing to prevent them from suing you.
Okay. How much is that going to cost if they sue you, even if you're in the right?
Potentially thousands of dollars.
I want to be a little more specific than that?
Well, it depends on the fees of the attorney, but, you know, I would venture to guess about $25,000. U.S. dollars.
Wow! And could you charge that back to the candidate if you're proven innocent?
Possibly, yeah. Under what's called fee shifting arrangements, it's possible you could do that.
You know they're not going to have $25,000 to pay you, right?
Yeah, that's part of the problem, is the hassle of actually getting that money.
But will a lawyer? You know, you don't sound happy, Charles. Are you happy? Are you glad to be here?
Oh yeah, I'm thrilled. This is very exciting.
Okay. Okay, just liven it up a bit, will you? You're making me nervous. I don't like people not to be happy. This is like a party, okay?
I'm trying to fill in the party. I'm trying to fill in the gaps when you're talking.
Well, fill in the gaps. What does that mean?
Well, I'm waiting for my openings.
Okay, well, you just butt in. You're the star of the show, okay?
All right.
Until I shut you up, okay? When I tell you, don't talk. Don't mess with me. Julia, you're a new visitor. Julia, I want to ask Julia. Julia, do you have a question?
I do. Sometimes, oh, no, not at all. Sometimes I get into some interesting conversations with my candidates, and I ran across a real awkward one 2 weeks ago where somebody completely went on a rant to me saying he's working for a Muslim and he hates him and he's a Christian, and can I please get him a new job? Those conversations get awkward, and... any suggestions on what to do?
I would advise that person, since he's a candidate, that if he really wants to work ever again, he should not be talking about employers on the basis of their religion, you know, or any other of those types of classifications like race, gender, whatever, that, you know, if he can't get along like that, he's probably not going to get along with 99% of the workforce or people supervising him.
Yeah, but now Julia's involved, right? He's put it in a hot potato in her lap, hasn't he, by just bringing the issue up?
Legally, probably not. She is in a position as a third-party recruiter. If she participates in discrimination, for example, if the company were to say to her, we won't hire him because he hates Muslims, that may be a little bit stickier than, or it may be a little bit stickier than the opposite, than the other way around, where he doesn't want to work for the employer because they're a Muslim.
Now, is she obligated to report that? I mean, maybe she thinks it's irrelevant in this new company. Can she get in trouble for not saying anything about it?
Now, she won't get in trouble for not saying anything unless the company itself, unless she believes that the company itself is not going to hire this guy because of his religious beliefs. Do you understand the difference there?
She knows that her client does not want to hire people who have these kinds of biases, and if she, you know, doesn't mention it, then she's deceiving them. Is that the issue?
No, she wouldn't be deceiving them in that instance. If they were going to exclude the guy, if he doesn't like Muslims, he's not discriminating against the employer. Now, if he's a Muslim, if the candidate himself is a Muslim, and the company won't hire him because he's a Muslim, then she's participating in discrimination, and she could be liable.
But if he's a Muslim hater.
What bothers Julia? What is it that bothers you, Charles? Now it's my turn to talk. What is it that bothers you, Julia?
Well, trying to figure out what the appropriate thing to say to my client is.
Yeah, but is there a legal issue involved? This, you know, he's not a therapist.
I didn't think he would be a good culture fit. That was my response.
That's actually a very good response. That's actually a great response.
Case here is this guy doesn't know what's appropriate and what's not appropriate to talk about during an interviewing process. He's a loose cannon. I'm going to put him in the ditch file.
Well, that's why I said he probably wouldn't be able to work for 99% of the population out there anyway.
He's a chump.
I mean, you're right. He's just excludable. He just can't work for people. And the fit, the word fit is really a great word to use in those circumstances, that the person's just not a fit. Personality-wise.
Okay, I got a couple of questions here.
Go ahead.
I mean, we're talking about somebody that... Say again?
Carl Chapman, right?
Yes.
Okay.
We're talking about somebody that's talking to a third-party recruiter who is working hand-in-hand trying to find a new job. That's a little different than not knowing how to interview and sit in front of a prospective employer and say, I hate Muslims. Right?
Well, you're saying in the background he's talking one-on-one to her, just basically disclosing his personalities and all his...
That would be my... That's what I understood from the conversation so far. That doesn't show me that he's got bad judgment. You know, I'm a Christian. I can guarantee you I'm not going to go to work for a Satanist. And I don't see anything wrong with making that known.
Yeah, but the issue then becomes... Are you going to be – does that statement that you wouldn't work for a Satanist, does that indicate the potential for other biases or for basically just having loose lips and just speaking off the top of your mind anytime you feel like it?
My recruiter is like my priest. You know,
I've got
a one-on-one working relationship with that person.
That's the way I
treat them. That's the way I would expect to be treated.
Carl, let me ask a question. Let me get in here.
Yeah.
Can you turn someone away because they're a Satanist? That's their religion?
Can I?
No, not you. Anybody. Can the recruiter, can a company, can they say, I'm not hiring this guy because he's a Satanist?
No,
or
they have to find another reason.
That's right. They have to find another reason.
Yeah,
really?
Because he's fat or something. You have to add that in there.
First of all, any recruiter...
I am free to not take a job anywhere based on anything.
Yeah,
that's,
that's a different story.
Well,
that's
exactly.
Different.
But that's why I don't think it shows poor judgment. If I said, hey, I don't want to go up north because I don't like the cold, that doesn't show bad judgment because I'm telling my recruiter I don't like the cold.
We need more information from Julia. How did he say it, and what did he say? Did he say, hey, I normally wouldn't bring this up, but I need to let you know, my recruiter, I need to let you know why I don't want to work at this place anymore? Or did he just say, hey, I'm looking for a job because it turns out there's some Muslims over there, and I hate all Muslims. Don't find me a job where there's any Muslims. I mean, how did that come about?
Well,
Are you still with us?
I sure am, and I can answer that. I'm not sure it makes a difference to the end result of this conversation. I mean, people get too comfortable. You know, it was, a level of comfort. He suddenly felt okay with me and telling me the real reason why he wanted to leave his current position.
Are you worried why he felt comfortable with you to say that?
Yeah.
No one's ever talked like that to me. Let me ask a related question. I'm going to talk over everybody. Let's say, with this idea of cultural fit, I say I only want to hire Canadians because they understand me. I got to tell you guys, we're always talking about the Canadian personality and our national identity and how we're different from Americans, and that's a big thing here. So let's say I say I'm only going to hire Canadians because we'll have a good rapport. Yeah, can I do that? Can I say I'm only hiring a Canadian?
Under certain circumstances, you probably could.
Why? What circumstances?
You can't in America.
Yeah, well,
I'm imagining I'm working in the States. Imagine I'm going down to Cleveland or Buffalo, and I've got an office there, but I want to hire another expatriate or something like that.
Under affirmative action, under certain affirmative action standards, you could do that.
Mm.
It's going to depend on the circumstances. Let me get back to
you're right.
Let me get back to a point though that made just a minute ago. A recruiter is not a priest, and any recruiter that holds himself out as being somewhat of some sort of confidence that there anything that's said to them is an absolute confidence, that's wrong. I believe that's wrong. And the recruiter is playing a middle role between the business itself that's doing the hiring and the candidate. And if the candidate shows the type of judgment that leads a recruiter to believe that they're not going to be employable with that employer, then the recruiter should take that, should act on that, should act on that that instinct of theirs or that feeling of theirs that basically I can't introduce this person to that employer because of what, maybe not even what they said, but the fact that they said it in the first place.
Is that in some sort of like a fiduciary responsibility or some kind of convoluted definition of that?
Yeah,
like
it's
where you're obligated?
I don't know about obligated. Fiduciary is a much higher legal standard. I'm talking more in terms of, and this is getting away from law, but more in terms of business ethics. Because legally, unless there's a contract between the recruiter and the candidate or the recruiter and the company, there really is no legal standard or law that would bind the recruiter from not disclosing or not hiring that person based on the fact that either, one, they voiced the belief, or two, that they have that belief. And
everybody
getting
finished?
Example. So do you understand the distinction there?
Yeah, I understand. It's not a legal issue. It's a performance issue.
It's a performance issue, a behavioral issue. It's the same example used about the fiduciary thing. It's analogous to that, unless there is some sort of contract or some sort of legally binding agreement between the parties involved here, and that would be the candidate, the recruiter, and the company, and any derivation of any sort of agreement.
You know what, Charles? You're
yeah.
really confusing me, or Chucky, whatever, because here in Ontario, the province of Ontario where I live, I know it's against the law to exclude someone because of an accent. And you're making it sound like anything goes.
Well, no. Accent is indicative of national origin, so in the U.S. it's possible to exclude somebody on the basis of accent. I mean, it's possible that it's illegal. It would be probably illegal to exclude somebody on the basis of accent here in the U.S. too.
I just said I like to talk to Canadians, and I only want to hire Canadians. You said that's fine.
Under certain circumstances, under certain affirmative action standards, it could be.
Do Canadians have affirmative action in the United States?
Hello, could I say something?
Yeah.
So is this Cliff Mintz?
Yeah, it is.
Go ahead.
I'm married to a labor lawyer.
Congratulations.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, me too. I'm sorry, too. But
going
anyway,
for,
I think...
Going
I
for
think,
management.
I think that... forget a union. Forget it. Management? I'm a socialist. But going back to the discussions, I think that if you own your own business, you could hire and do whatever you want. At least in the United States, you could do whatever you want. But if you are a large corporation that works with the government and has government contracts and the like, you are held to the standards of equal opportunity, and you cannot discriminate.
No.
Well,
yeah.
Let Charles the lawyer speak first. Charles the lawyer, your turn.
To an extent, he's right. There's a lot of state laws, though, state laws and local laws covering civil rights issues like race, sex, gender, national origin, that does cover all employers. Now, when you're getting into government issues of affirmative action programs or policies, you're getting into a totally different realm where they may, where companies, larger it tends to favor larger companies because larger companies have the wherewithal to apply for those contracts, and then therefore they would be held to a higher standard.
Right. But as a small business owner,
I could
choose not to hire qualified minorities if I choose not to hire them. And nobody could say, if they want to bring a suit, you could say, well, it's my business, and I don't think that it's, you know, for my needs, you will not be an appropriate employee. I'm not saying that morally or ethically that's correct, but I think that you can do that. I think
under
that
certain, under certain circumstances, you could.
I mean,
yeah,
so if I'm a five-person company, right, and I don't want to hire, because I'm Jewish, I don't want to hire, you know, a Muslim individual to work for me. I mean, I don't. Do you think that if I have like 100 Muslim people lining up to work for me, that they would file a suit against my small business? To what end? They
can't, if this was Chicago or Illinois, Chicago, Cook County, or in Illinois, you could be held liable for discrimination because local discrimination laws, like in Illinois, the state human rights law applies to all employers.
Charles, let me interrupt. You told me a good story about a company that was hiring a lot of Hispanics, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Why don't you tell that story right now?
Yeah, there was a company on the southwest side of Chicago years ago, about 15, 20 years ago, a small lamp manufacturing company. It was written up by Mike Royko a number of times, a Chicago Tribune columnist. The company had predominantly or almost exclusively a Hispanic workforce, and they were hiring basically on the referral or recommendation of their current employees who are Hispanic. And these employees were largely referring friends and family. So the workforce was largely, you know, kind of quote-unquote incestuous in that they were hiring only Hispanics. Some black people brought a claim with the federal U.S. Equal Employment Opportunity Commission on the basis of race discrimination. The U.S. Equal Employment Opportunity Commission had a fact-finding conference, and based on that conference, decided that, yes, discrimination had occurred and that blacks were being illegally excluded from employment at this company. And the company then had to engage in a protracted settlement discussions, had to pay damages, had to enter into agreement to hire blacks, pay past black applicants, some sort of damages, things like that. So they got in a lot of trouble.
Okay, while we're telling stories, tell the one about the Eastern European recruiter as well.
Yeah, there's a situation arising where a security trading company was looking to hire an information technology individual, somebody experienced in a number of different programming languages. And the recruiter, who himself was not really that great at English, at writing or anything, indicated in an email that the person had an accent, but even though he had like an Eastern European accent, they were still okay, or they still may be suitable. And that, to me, raises a lot of issues when you're and this goes back to the earlier comment you made a couple of minutes ago about an accent, and that by singling out somebody on the basis of their accent, you could be discriminating or be construed as discriminating on the basis of national origin or ethnicity, which would be illegal. So this company
you could talk in terms of communication skills or lack thereof.
Yeah, you could.
Can I ask a question here?
Jerry, go ahead.
This is Jerry. I have a question about Cliff's comment regarding small businesses not having, not falling under Title VII of the Civil Rights Act of 1964, which is the foundation for all anti-discrimination since then.
Yeah,
I have a hard time believing a small business owner doesn't realize that they are subject to discrimination laws, and that we can't discriminate on the basis of race, color, religion, sex, or national origin other than bona fide occupational qualifications, like a Chinese restaurant needing their waiter or waitress to be Chinese. Or
You can't do that either.
Yeah, he's right. That may not qualify as a bona fide occupational qualification.
Well, maybe that was a poor example. But
yeah, I know what you're saying, though. Yeah, BFOQs, bona fide occupational qualifications, are very narrowly construed, and generally you define them based on previous court decisions. You're looking at previous court precedent.
Sure.
Yeah.
I'm having difficulty with Cliff thinking that if two guys or gals apply to him, that he can discriminate. It just shocks me that a business
Jerry, Cliff's got a PhD, okay?
Hey, I want to say
I'm not upset with Cliff. I'm just shocked that there's someone who believes that they are not subject to subchapter.
I just want to say something. I wouldn't do that, but I know from my personal experiences working with small businesses as a recruiter and et cetera, that small business people, many of them believe that they can do that with impunity and not be worried about any kind of repercussions or any kind of lawsuits brought against them because nobody really, I think most people in business who are in small businesses don't really understand the equal opportunity and discrimination laws as well as they ought to because they're not attorneys they've never had these suits brought against them.
I'm sorry, I must have misunderstood, Cliff, when you were saying that your wife is a labor attorney and that she told you that you're not a labor lawyer.
But there are ways to.
You know what? Let me take control.
I'm not trying to cut you guys off.
You're going on too long about
this. All employers
Wait
are
a
subject
second.
To this.
Hold on. No one can hear you because I'm talking too loud. Listen, Charles. I'm going to take it to Charles. It sounded like Cliff said small businesses are exempt. It did sound like he said, my wife's a labor lawyer. Small businesses don't have to abide by these rules unless they're supplying the government, right? And then they come under some kind of special rules. Charles, is that true or not? Are small businesses exempt from discrimination laws?
Some of them. They are exempt from some of them. Let me give you – let's start off
right,
Robbie, U.S. labor and employment laws are a – and when I say U.S., I'm talking about not just federal but also state and local. It's
right.
A broad quilt work or patchwork of laws, some applying to larger businesses, some applying to smaller businesses. So a smaller business, a business that has fewer than 15 employees would not be held liable or would not be held covered by the Americans with Disabilities Act or the Family Medical Leave Act, even if they're small, like the Family Medical Leave Act covers 50 or more employees. Now let's say you're in Illinois. Well, Illinois has state and local laws that apply to all employers. So yes, they may not be held liable under the Americans with Disabilities Act, the federal law, but they could be held liable under a state equivalent of that. Or if they're doing any work for like any public sector agencies, they could be held liable under the Rehabilitation Act of 1973, which has some of the same prohibitions against discrimination that the Americans with Disabilities Act of 91 has. So what you're getting into is this patchwork of laws covering, you know, it's like playing whack-a-mole. You hit it one spot and it pops, and the law, that other law pops up in another spot.
Right.
And that's what happens with this. And that's why employers get confused about a lot of stuff.
Charles, that's what I may have misspoke because I didn't mean to say I was just making fun that my wife was a labor lawyer. But the labor laws are not – I believed until I had discussions with my wife in specific instances that every employer in the United States, whether they were – large employers, small employers, et cetera, were beholden to all of the equal opportunity, affirmative action, and anti-discrimination laws that were passed at the federal level.
No, they're not.
That's what I was trying to say. It didn't come out correctly. So
Settled.
What I wanted to say was, going back to my original point, is that most people need to be more informed about what they can do and what they can't do when they're employers.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, fine. They need a lawyer, right? Charles.
They need a lawyer,
right.
They need a lawyer. A small business, should a small business consult an employment lawyer like you on a regular basis?
Yeah, on a semi-regular basis, but I do a lot of free seminars, and they could get the information. They could get a lot of information from me for free or from other places on the Internet for free, too.
Where would they go?
they could go to my website, they could go to the U.S. Equal Employment Opportunity Commission's website or the U.S. Department of Labor's website. There's a lot of places out there where you can just Google some of the stuff and get it for free. Sometimes
okay, so let's
not...
give your website again before the time is gone.
Sure.
CharlesAKrugel.com, right?
That's right.
Now, I got some questions coming in from Twitter. I got to give these Twitter people some. They're listening to the show.
Sure.
I don't know. They didn't tell me whether I could mention their names or not, but I'll mention this girl. Her name is Jessica Lee. She's an HR person. She wants to know the lawyer's perspective. You're the lawyer. On using information found on social media sites in hiring decisions.
That's a great
right?
question. Yeah, you can use that information. That's public information. You could use that. However, if that information you use tends to exclude people under a protected class, it's possible that you could be held liable then for discrimination.
Unless
I'm not aware of any cases testing this yet. But
well,
she
sent me a link to a site. It says a teacher was suspended for her Facebook site. It ignites the debate. Should online privacy for educators exist?
Well, my example was more of a pattern and practice example. Her example of the teacher is an isolated instance against one person. So in that instance, yeah, that's they could do that. Without having any other information, making my statement in a vacuum just based solely on the website, based on solely on the fact that the information's out there publicly, yeah, they could exclude that teacher.
Right.
Okay, another question. Did you feel you answered that question fully about social media?
Sure.
It's public information. If people are putting it out there, they've got to suffer the consequences, right?
Generally speaking, yeah.
They have no legal protections, right?
No, unless the exclusion of that person is indicative of a broader pattern and practice of exclusion of a protected class. Do you understand
the difference? Give us an example. Everything has to have examples.
Sure. If you were to use Facebook as a means to hire, you know, as part of your hiring criteria, and Facebook, it's proven statistically then that after 500 hiring actions, Facebook tended to excluded 10,000 African Americans. That's possibly indicative of discrimination against African Americans. You know, if you can just statistically prove that.
So if you see someone's picture on Facebook, if you use Facebook to see someone's picture, that's not a problem unless you discriminate based on that, right? And that's an issue. The thing that you discriminated on is a protected issue. Is that right?
Right. Then it would be illegal. Then it would most likely be illegal,
Could I ask a follow-up?
No. You had enough time. Wait a second. Sorry, I hate to put it that way, but that's true. Listen, I won't say this person's name, but just in case, she sent me a message from Twitter as well. How long can one collect unemployment, and are the states at risk in the current situation of running low on funds? It's unrelated to what we're talking about, but you might know something about that.
Generally, like in Illinois, I think it's up to 6 months, but it could be longer under certain circumstances. Every state's different. Every state has its own laws regarding that, but I think on average it's about 6 months. And then are we running out? Yeah, I keep hearing that. I mean, that's part of what some of the discussions in the U.S. regarding the financial bailout, you know, concerns is putting in more money into the unemployment compensation pot.
Okay, Maureen.
I'm here.
Maureen, did you want to say something?
Julia.
No, that wasn't me before.
Okay, Julia, do you want to say something?
There are federal extended unemployment benefits which will kick in after the states have finished their standard rounds, which is what they're discussing now. Which is slightly different than the states running out of money. The federal government kicks in. I have seen people get it up to a full year. It's the longest I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And where are you working at? Where do you live? Can you say?
I live in Wisconsin. I've seen that in Washington, though.
Where in Wisconsin?
Okay. Yeah,
Madison.
That later.
All right. I got my PhD in Madison.
Julia, you've got a great sounding voice for this radio show. It sounds great, doesn't it, Animal?
Okay, Charles.
He doesn't even care. I'm out of here.
You know, I'm the doorman of a genealogy society. And I took a look at your name, and I would say, like, what kind of name is that, Charles?
It's something like Czech or Hungarian, somewhere around that region.
Yeah, okay. Can I ask you that question?
If you want to ask somebody about the origin of their name, Yeah, I think you probably could do that. That wouldn't be illegal per se, unless you started getting a little bit deeper into that. And, you know, yeah. I mean, I was thinking of this before. Like, you know, let's say you have a job candidate whose name is Barack Obama. You
yeah.
know, that's an unusual name. You want to, hey, what kind of name is that? We're, you know, we're is that somebody from your family side, your mother's side or father's side?
I wouldn't do any background check at all, and I would make him the president immediately.
But it's an interesting name, and it leads to that an interesting sort of discussion on that. It's not illegal per se.
Really?
You
yeah.
and 67 other million people.
Look, what about good looks? Like, you know, there's some big music stars, or I assume there's some really great musicians who aren't great looking. Shania Twain is a mediocre musician, I would say, but she's really pretty, and she's a superstar. Can you hire on that basis as well? Like, I'd like to have a sharp-looking receptionist.
Yeah, you can. I would not disclose that publicly because that leads to the inference again of what, you know, what constitutes beauty and all that. And if you're gonna, if any of your criteria has anything to do with the protective classes, you know what beauty is. So
you mean if it includes, what is that, a racial issue or what?
It could be race.
Is that what
it
you're
could
talking
be
about?
It could be
what
age.
About age.
It could. Oh, I'm sorry. What about age or AIDS?
Age.
Yeah, it could be age.
Right.
Okay,
well,
so
what
in
if
other
it
words,
was for a...
Go, hold
sorry.
On, Juliet. He's talking out of both sides of his mouth. That's why I played Mac the Knife before he came on.
You
Look,
got him.
He said, yeah. He said,
you
sure,
him.
You can
Good
hire
work.
Whoever you want.
What?
Well, let me talk. He said, you can hire whoever you want based on what she looks like, except. And the except cancels out the first thing, right, Charles?
Well, what we're talking about is an analysis after the fact. So
right.
If you're excluding 100 females over the age of 40
right.
because you don't believe they're attractive, that's discriminatory. That could be illegal because that's indicative of a pattern of practice after the fact.
Right.
If
okay.
you only exclude one or two or three females over the age of 40 and you have an applicant pool of 20 and it's a diverse pool and you end up hiring somebody younger than 40 who you consider attractive, that's probably not discrimination.
You know what? I'm going to say that, generally speaking, people are considered to be attractive when they're younger, more attractive than when they're older, okay? So you can't say that I can't discriminate on the basis of age, but I can hire whoever I want based on how they look, because I am almost certainly going to discriminate against older people in that case. Wait a second. Let's hear the lawyer.
You're not hiring in a vacuum, though.
Let's hear the lawyer.
That your statement regarding beauty is correct, then that may be illegal.
Right.
Okay.
Well, Animal, there is statistical information showing that good-looking people are more successful in several jobs. That,
yeah,
that's CEO. That's out there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sales
well,
position.
In the U.S., males make, or females make 75 cents to or 77 cents for every dollar a man earns.
Right.
So, I mean, we know that there's gender discrimination relative to wage.
Right.
You know, in the U.S., I mean, there's still a lot of discrimination based on race and the other different classes, too. So
right.
we know that the bias exists.
Right.
Listen, Charles.
I'd have to look at the underlying data for that statement to
Let
say that the bias exists.
I could give you
I agree.
Bias.
I agree with Jerry.
That was
Carl.
Hear that,
we sound the same.
Yeah, they say we sound
the
same.
Hold on. Just like, there's so many people calling in. I gotta have some judge authority. I gotta
Your
be
show
in control.
Is too popular, Animal.
Your show is too many people.
No, it's Charles is very popular. Charles, you should feel good. But there's somebody else with an 847 area code. Maybe it's a friend of yours. I just want to give him a chance to say hello or ask a question. 847.
Hello.
You got the floor. You want to say hi?
Hi.
Who is it? You want to introduce yourself, or do I have to, you know, bug you to say something?
They hung up.
That was
weird.
Be
quiet, okay? That's one of your people, Charles. These are all mine. They know how to act on a radio show already, okay?
We're very
I think it was Barack Obama.
And socialist blunt people.
Maybe it was Bill Ayers or something. I don't know.
Bill
now, listen.
It's your Canadian personality. It's overwhelming.
Yeah, right. Does anybody have a question who I didn't allow to ask a question yet? Gene. Gene from Novotus has been very quiet. Got a question, Gene?
No. No questions today. Just been listening and enjoying the conversation.
Okay.
Thank you.
I've got one question.
No, no, hold on. I want to come back to Charles. Charles, are there any, like, you know, we're running out of time. Maureen's show's going to come on soon. Are there any big issues that we haven't even touched on that a recruiter should be aware of?
There's so many of them.
Well, come on, give us one. Don't say so many. I'm starting to think you're a regular lawyer.
I think in terms of what's happening in the U.S. now, there's going to be broader regulation of the workplace, and there's going to be more restrictions.
Great.
This is my own opinion, that there's going to be more restrictions on what can be done in the workplace. And this is in union and non-union environments, too, now. Because when you're talking about a federal bailout of basically our economy, you're also then talking about potentially greater regulation of business. Anytime there's greater regulation of business, you're talking about more restrictions on what can be done. And I think this is going to affect, on a micro level, how businesses operate relative to affirmative action, discrimination laws, things like that. It's going to get very
tight. Can you give us an example of what you mean? Give me an example of how it's going to affect a recruiter.
Well, I think recruiters are going to have to pay more attention to the tools that they're using or the devices that they're using in terms of selection or rejection, whatever, and hiring, and they're going to have to put more pressure on employers if they think that the employer itself is not acting, is legally noncompliant or potentially ethically noncompliant, or there's issue, you know, there's overlapping issues there. They're going to have to put more pressure on the employer to back off of using some of these tactics or devices. And it's going
you don't like talking in terms of examples, but I thought you lawyers always think in terms of cases. Can you think of a case?
I can't think of any specific case off the top of my head. I mean, there's probably thousands of them. But, I mean, going back to the example of the securities company that had the third-party recruiter that made the remark in an email about a person's accent, that type of stuff is very problematic. And especially with e-discovery laws now and what's available electronically, that type of stuff is potentially discoverable if a lawsuit were to be brought, and that could be real problematic for the recruiter and the employer.
And because the government is essentially going to become a part owner of your business, you're going to be under closer scrutiny. Is that what you're saying?
Possibly, yeah, because the more money that's available out there, too, for businesses, and the more money that filters down to businesses, the more businesses that's going to be under the umbrella of the federal government, of the affirmative action and EEO-type laws.
Okay.
How do I get a piece of the bailout? That's what I want to know.
Yeah, everybody wants to know that.
Mega placement. I have one question, though, that needs to be clarified. Animal?
Sure.
Pardon me?
I don't want to have to work for it, Jerry.
Okay, Jerry, go ahead.
I'm just wondering, Charles, are you a plaintiff or a defendant in most cases? I mean, are your clients the businesses who are alleged to have discriminated? What's your specific practice?
Management side. I represent small to medium-sized businesses.
Okay.
Okay,
so
now, Charles, I got a question for you.
Sure.
I got a job hunting question. Maureen, do you mind if we go over time a bit? Charles, can you
stay a little longer
than an hour?
Yeah,
I can stay
ahead
as long as you want.
Okay, great. I don't know what that says about your business, but I'm happy to hear it. Now, listen here, Charles. If a job hunter is smart, he or she is going to go and get a directory for their business, like a buyer's guide or a trade journal or an industrial directory, and they're going to pick out a bunch of companies they want to work for, and they're going to approach them directly, just like a real salesperson. The thing is, when they call into the receptionist, the guy will say, I want to speak to your lab manager or your industrial engineering manager, your chief engineer, whatever. And she'll say, what are you calling for? And this guy will say, I'm interested in talking to him about a position. And she'll send you to human resources, or she'll get rid of you somehow. She won't give you the name, and she won't put you through. So this guy's smart. He or she has a real sales mentality, starts calling in, and the gatekeeper says, why are you calling, or where are you calling from? And he'll say, I'm with the trade association. So we're both engineers. I'm from the Association of Professional Engineers of whatever state you're in. And he gets through. Is that legal?
Yeah, that's legal. So, if he's a member of that organization, now, even if he's lying, that still may be legal.
Come on.
It's not illegal to lie to people.
There's no law against lying.
If you're under oath in a court.
What?
Spill it out. No. This is a constant, Carl, this is a constant issue on the recruiting blogs. Are ruse calls legal?
My understanding
of
is that they
are.
There's no law against them.
There's no law against ruse call. So a recruiter, for instance, can call in and say, look, I'm putting on a convention. I want to talk to your chief engineer or your product marketing manager or somebody like that. And on the basis of that fraudulent intent, get the information.
Yeah, now
right?
if they go a little bit further and try to get money or anything like that, I mean, that's a completely different circumstance.
Not money.
Like,
they're
going
to call in and try to recruit that person.
Yeah, you're just trying to get past the gatekeeper. I'm not aware of any law that would prohibit that.
And even if you recruit that person and it costs the company money because they lost a crucial member of their staff, that's okay. A ruse call is still legitimate. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
What about the unfair practices and all that? You know, they keep saying, oh, there's unfair practices in business and you're violating that and it's illegal and blah, blah, blah. Can you comment on unfair practices in business?
Yeah, I always think of the movie Bad Santa when I hear that. Because that's what they were, the movie Bad Santa.
Bad Santa, okay.
Yeah, with Billy Bob Thornton.
Okay.
Didn't see it.
All right, anyway, I thought it was more widely seen. But anyway, in that movie, they did claim bad, unfair practices, and that's just a really generic term for basically alluding back to the protected class discrimination. And generally speaking, it's state by state. Some states can have unfair practices or what's also called wrongful termination, basically firing somebody for a lie, you know, for basically a made-up, trumped-up reason or anything that's against public policy or anything that violates law, such as terminating somebody for being a whistleblower or being a whistleblower reporting the company based on illegal activity, fraudulent activity, whatever.
For not working in good faith?
That's a little bit. That tends to hedge back a little more when you're talking about not working in good faith. If there's a law against not working in good faith, yeah, they could be protected by that law.
Is there a law?
There are some laws relative to that. Government contracts, things like that. Like if a company goes after a government contract and lies about their workforce, you know, the makeup of their workforce, or lies about their compliance with safety rules or anything else, and that could be a breach of, you know, their obligation to report in good faith everything that's going on in their business in order to procure that contract, and an employee does blow the whistle on them, they could be protected, that employee, from termination.
But that has nothing to do
okay
with,
there?
That has nothing to do with ruse calling, which
no.
is the hot spot in our industry.
So
yeah.
Ruse calling, so let's say, I just want to clarify that again because there's more people calling in, Charles, new people. And tell that 847 guy when he or she gets in touch with you, they're just a little too sensitive. I didn't mean to scare them away, okay? Everybody's welcome to call in and talk to my guests on the Recruiting Animal Show. Almost anything goes.
I'm happy to cover for you, Michael.
Okay, thank you very much. That's not covering for me. It's just being the middleman, whatever you call it.
That was weak.
Yeah, he was. Okay, but, you know. He's from Chicago. What do you say? Listen,
hey.
Charles. Actually, that somebody asked me something else. If who's that? Who's doing that on the air? Come on, please. One of the new people I just let on. They don't know how to act. Look, Charles.
Yeah.
Alan Dershowitz. Should I say it again? I think someone's calling from India. Where's area code 912, Maureen?
That's a new one. Isn't
okay,
that
listen
Canada?
To me.
That's
I don't
Georgia.
Know what it is. Georgia.
Georgia.
Okay.
I just checked. I had to check that
Fine.
One.
Charles. Yeah. Alan Dershowitz
it's Savannah.
Said, if he had the chance, he would defend Osama bin Laden because everybody has a right to a trial, good representation at a fair trial. Now, we saw The Sopranos. They own a waste disposal company. Would you be their lawyer?
Yeah, sure. Why not? As long as they pay me.
Really?
Yeah, they'd be kind of interesting.
Wouldn't it be dangerous?
Could be, you know, it's going to be one of those situations you have to kind of weigh when you're in the midst of it. But
I got to tell you, you have shocked me so much today. but maybe I'm misunderstanding you because you say one thing and you mean another, right? So it's really hard. I mean, you're a real lawyer. I'm going to give you credit for that. Okay.
I'm not that hypocritical. Come on.
You're tricky. You're slippery. Area code 720. Do you want to say hi to Charles? You don't have to. Okay.
No,
area code 91.
He doesn't sound slippery to me, animal.
Okay, good.
Not at all.
Good. Area code 912. Well, that pretty. What about? Yeah, you can hire anybody on the basis of how she looks, except if she's over 40.
Don't tell anybody. Just say
no,
don't tell anybody.
I didn't say except if she's over 40. I said if that if you have a pattern of practice, exclude them.
There are plenty of women over 40 that I'd hire.
Okay. Who's got the beard?
Sorry, thank you.
Please.
We have mayhem breaking out.
Jerry.
Starting to fall apart here.
Did you hang up on us?
Area code 912. Area code 912. Do you want to say hi? No. Area code 912 is gone. Area code 515. Do you want to say hi to Charles? Do you know your
Iowa.
Area code?
That's Iowa.
That's Iowa.
Area code. Do you want to say hi? No. Okay. I got a bunch of zeros there. Is that Susan Burns or somebody? You want to say hi? Okay. Those new people, they're not going to get on, okay? Now, does anybody else have any outstanding questions? Because I'm going to give Charles a chance to go back to work. You know, you're like a fund of information here. You're welcome to come on another time.
Will you come back?
I appreciate that. Yeah, definitely. It was fun.
Okay.
Yeah, well, it's not over yet. I got one more question. If I'm coming from the automotive industry where people speak in a very vulgar manner, and I say the F word a lot in an interview and stuff like that, I think you've kind of told us already that we have the right to rule out somebody on the way they speak, on the basis of their culture, right?
Or fit, yeah, that they wouldn't be a good fit for the organization. Yeah, you could, yeah.
He can't say that's how people talk where I come from in the state of Iowa or Missouri or whatever, right?
That wouldn't be discriminatory. I mean, you cannot hire on the basis of that.
So along that line then, what can we safely discriminate against?
Well, the example, I don't know, maybe you misunderstood me. The example
inability to perform the job, Jerry.
Yeah, or if personality, I mean, statistically, personality has been determined to be one of the biggest predictors of success in the workplace. And if you believe that a person's or a candidate's personality is not going to, is not a good indicator of their success, that they wouldn't be a good performer, you could just exclude them on the basis of their personality fit. So again, a person who says the F word a lot, you could exclude them on the basis of that. Now, again, I mean, this is where you get into the slippery lawyer part. If you exclude 500 applicants because they all drop the F word and all 500 of them are also happen to be Hispanic, that could be a problem. Now, it's not illegal per se, but that could be a problem. Especially if white people and other classes are using the F word.
Mm-hmm. So okay, well, that's different. No, okay, see how you bring in stuff at the end? You say, well, you know, if they use the F word and it's they're part of their culture, you can't discriminate against them.
How do you know if you have a problem personality? How do you know?
Well, this is getting back to the guy's statement before. Like, I refuse to work with a Muslim or I refuse to hire a Satanist. I mean, that, you know, especially if they say that really early in the selection process, that could
so
be
a big
problem.
So it's up to us to tell them that they're out of line and that they have problematic.
Yeah, I think what you're alluding to is largely to judgment call. Yeah.
Just so we're clear, my statement was I wouldn't work for a Satanist, not that I wouldn't hire one.
Well, that's
would you hire
clear.
One?
Yeah. All right. I don't know if I'd hire one, but...
But thank you, Charles. I want to thank you. This has been a real exciting show.
Yes,
I liked it.
Top
I enjoyed 10. It. Well, hold on. Just before we go, 847 is back, I think, to clear him or herself. Do you want to say hello, 847? Your fellow Chicagoan is on the phone.
Sure.
You're going to be – who is it?
My name's Larry.
Larry, you don't want to say your last name? That's okay.
Johnson, that's fine. I don't care.
Who are you, Larry?
I'm a recruiter, and I was just listening to the tail end of this, and I was kind of waiting for Maureen to come on at 1 o'clock.
Okay, you're from Maureen's show. You hold your horses. Charles, your fellow Chicagoan, is not interested in you. He's interested in the Queen Bee of telephone sourcing. And with
exactly.
that, we're going to go to her show. Thank you very much, Charles.
Thank you, Michael. Thank you,
bye,
everyone.
Charles. Thank you.
Cannon through the back door. I'm a fan of the world.
Maureen Sherup, welcome to your own show. There's a ton of people calling in right now for you. It's unbelievable.
I'm thrilled to death.
There's a whole bunch of people. Let's run through the new couch. I can't
okay,
believe it.
Okay, let's go.
Especially after this guy. This is a hard act to follow. He was kind of interesting.
He was very interesting.
720. Who's that? Doesn't want to say hi, right?
That's
720.
I think that's Colorado.
Okay, but Colorado doesn't want to say hi.
Okay.
Area code 515 doesn't want to say hi, right?
Iowa.
847 is Larry. He just said
hi,
hello.
Hey.
Area code 978, do you want to say hi to Maureen?
Hey, Maureen, it's Eric Meyer.
Hi, Eric. Eric called me before.
Okay, you know Eric, okay? Is he a recruiter? Eric, do you want to just tell us your job, recruiter or sourcer or what?
I am both recruiting, sourcing for Kronos in Chelmsford, Massachusetts.
Okay, area code 614, where's that?
That's Ohio, that's Columbus, I think. Yeah, it's Columbus,
Ohio. Want to say hi to Maureen? No.
Okay. Hey, I'll say hi, it's Jerry in Chicago.
Hi, Jerry, how are you?
Hi.
Okay, area code 773, want to say hi to Maureen?
I did, it's Jerry in Chicago.
Oh, that's Jerry, I thought... 614 didn't say hi then. I see. Okay, Jerry. And area code 414. You want to say hi to Maureen?
Yeah, hey, this is Doug.
Hey, Doug. That's Wisconsin.
How are you?
You're in Wisconsin, right?
Okay,
yes.
So you're on a first name basis with all these people. Of course, the people who are going to listen to this recording, they don't know any of these guys. But that's okay. Maureen, how about if we just throw everything out for a second and
okay.
ask if anybody has a specific question for you?
That's a good
you
idea.
You barely get one caller. Now you've got half a dozen.
Okay, let's go. That's a good idea. Let's go. Anybody have a question?
Who's in a place where they're doing construction? Don't they know? Come on. Anybody got a question for Maureen about sourcing?
About phone sourcing? Is there anybody on here who attends the Tuesday and Thursday Magic Method chats over on the Magic Method Network?
Jerry, sometimes.
Okay.
Maureen, I got a question. If these chickens are so vapid or scared, they don't have a question... I got a question.
They'll get used to it. It's new for them.
The question you didn't answer the other day, if you're calling into a small company, you're looking for the sales manager, and so you actually get the name of the sales manager, you don't really know if that's the boss or his nephew.
I did answer that. If I know the company is small, I will call and ask for the sales manager. Before she sends me to the sales manager, again, if I know the company is small, I will ask, by the way, is he the owner of the company? Just like that, and she'll usually tell me.
Okay, so
that's
how
you
handle it. Does anybody else have a comment on that? Does anybody else have to deal with that issue? No. Okay, Maureen, should we go to the questions that you sent me?
If you want, or you said you had other questions, we can go to those.
Well, that was my main question, but, you know, this is a very different show for you. This is your
breakfast. How are you handling that, Animal? Are you coming up against that? These companies, you're looking for sales managers, right?
Yes, I am.
And the companies are small, many of them?
Yeah,
and or finding
the sales
that
manager might be the branch manager, for instance. If it's not a privately owned company, it might be the branch manager. So you know, the branch manager might not be an appropriate person to talk to there for a sales manager.
Sometimes you're right. The sales reps will report to the branch manager, and the branch manager kind of wears a couple different hats: operations, sales. Maybe you want to go at one of those sales reps that are reporting up to the branch manager.
Maybe. I actually need somebody with managerial experience. So what I'm finding is in some organizations, there really is no sales manager. There's a director of sales and sales reps. There's nobody
in between.
Who's going to be suitable.
Nowadays, we're going to see more and more of that as layoffs occur. They're going to cut away that middle management, I believe. That's what I'm finding. I'm finding directors with direct reports, directors reporting to EVP, executive VPs and senior VPs and even the C-levels. Even those VC levels are being cut out. Mm-hmm.
Didn't hear about that, but that's an interesting thing. Okay, well, why don't we start with your last question? Are you better off sticking to internet sourcing? Your answer is no. Am I right about that?
Absolutely not. You need to know both. A telephone sourcer needs to know some internet sourcing because many of our searches start on the internet. We go to the internet for some information. In order to get on the phone, in order to find a few names to use when we're on the phone, in order to get inside that particular office. If you're only doing internet sourcing, you need to learn telephone sourcing.
Really? Well, you know, it's a personality issue. Lots of people who do internet sourcing, they can't do telephone sourcing. It's a
I'm sorry. I believe you're going to get left behind. You
left
need
behind.
To know how to do telephone sourcing. It's becoming ever more important.
Okay. You know what? I got to tell you, I should cut that out for you where he talks about ruse calls, because
mm-hmm.
that must be a great relief to some people to hear that it's not illegal.
Well, you know, I'm not going to pass judgment on what he said or what he didn't say.
Who called in? I don't know if any of you heard about it, but that lawyer who was just on said that if you call up and say that you're from an association, even if you're not a member of that association, it's not illegal. And if you recruit somebody from a company and it causes them economic loss because they're missing a key person, you're still not liable even if you went in under false pretenses to get through to that person. Does that mean anything to anybody who's called in? You're welcome to talk if you want to.
Does that offer relief to anybody that's called in?
I would say it should. I mean, people are worried about those kind of things.
That is the general consensus. I mean, when you talk to people who are in a place to know that what he said is the general consensus. But we have this bugaboo in our community that ruse calling is wrong and lying, you know, you're lying. And
lying
there's
is
a discussion.
Wrong. Most people believe that. And there was
there's a discussion going on RBC right now. It's got, you know, like 50 replies. You know, they're pulling religion into it, and I mean, it's getting really wild.
That's legitimate. I think if you're a religious person, it's fair to say, is telephone sourcing legitimate? And that's what that guy asked, right?
Right.
There was no replies when I saw it. Okay.
Right.
Okay.
For those that are uncomfortable lying and rusing, and many people are, most people are, you don't have to ruse and you don't have to lie when you're telephone sourcing. It's not what you're saying, it's how you say it. And you've heard me say that many times, Animal.
Mm-hmm.
Many, many times. It's not what you say.
Yeah, but I asked him as well. I said, look, even if you don't lie, but you have a fraudulent intent, you're calling in to do something different than they think you're doing, right?
Right.
He said that's not an issue.
That's not illegal.
Nothing. He said, you know, he's calling in and telling the gatekeeper whatever you want or
mm-hmm.
not telling her who you are, et cetera. You know, if she says, who are you? And you say,
mm-hmm.
Maureen Sherub, and then you don't say anything else and
mm-hmm.
deliberately distract her by talking about the weather.
Mm-hmm.
That's not illegal.
Well,
now,
I'd like somebody to tell me what is illegal about that.
Well, I know that social engineering
is illegal.
Yes. Well, I guess if you use it to hack into somebody's computer, it's used in IT
that's
a lot.
That's not social engineering. That's computer engineering.
Well, no. They call in, and they, like Kevin Mitnick, a famous one, you look him up on the Internet, he called in. He would talk to security guys and stuff like that or whomever he could and get information that allowed him to do the hacking technically, electronically.
Oh, he would
right?
get them to reveal passwords and that type of thing?
Yeah, stuff like that,
oh,
something like
yeah.
that, I guess by misrepresenting who he was.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for me, that was a pretty interesting conversation. Either your fans who called in today just know all about that or they're not concerned about it, you know, people who call into a show like this, those kind of things don't bug them. They don't seem to have any comments, whereas my callers, like Cliff Mintz, the PhD chemist, he thought he was a labor lawyer, right?
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't keep him quiet. But your people don't want to say anything. I could barely get their names out of them.
Well, they're new. This is new for them.
Okay. But I've given them the opportunity. If you want to speak
and
up.
It's not unusual to be afraid to talk on the radio because most people are afraid of hearing their own voices on the radio.
Well, I know sources. I know
get
sources,
over it.
Sources don't want to reveal too much as well. But is anybody working on a search? Maury.
Okay.
Is anybody working on a search? I like your laughing, but not at the wrong time. Is anybody working on a search who's having a problem? Or just, you know, put it out there and ask Maureen how she would work it.
Anybody having problems with this specific search?
Anybody got a war story? I mean, I'll move on, but I just want to see what someone else has to say. I've been talking for an hour already.
Do we
yeah,
have
I'll,
people on the
I'll,
couch?
I'll talk.
There you
okay,
go.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, this is Chicago, 857.
Is this Eric?
No, my name's Larry.
He doesn't want to give his name.
Larry, this is
no,
Larry
no, my
again.
No, my name's Larry. I gave it before.
Oh, Eric's from Massachusetts. Okay,
yeah.
Go ahead.
Yep. I recruit in an industry. It's called material handling. So
yeah.
it's mm-hmm. the Basically, the things that go inside of distribution centers and warehouses, conveyors, racking, et cetera, et cetera. A lot of times we have searches for controls engineers that have experience working with, you know, conveyors.
Right.
Obviously, if you go to, you know, the websites, those people aren't listed. And if you're calling into companies, it's kind of like, okay, well, why do you specifically want to talk to, you know, a controls engineer?
Mm-hmm.
So if you could give me some points on, you
know, Larry, I'm going to ask you to tell me what you say when you call. ABC Corporation, this is Maureen. Can I help you?
Yeah, I'd like to talk to the individual that's in charge of the controls department.
Okay. Okay, what I'm hearing, Larry, and this is what I would suggest you do, when she answers, identify yourself. This is Larry. What's your last name?
Johnson.
Don't give it.
This is Larry. I'm trying to reach the controls department. Can you help me?
Okay.
Okay. Now, if she says her name when she answers, and many of them do, repeat her name back to her. Hi, Maureen. This is Larry. I'm trying to reach the controls department. Can you help me?
Okay.
Don't hesitate. Don't sound nervous.
Okay.
Don't sound like you're up to something. Many people do. They get that into their voices. And she can hear it. She will eat your lunch.
Okay.
And that many that in about half the times, she will help you just with that simple phrase.
Okay.
I guarantee it.
You know, Maureen meets a different class of gatekeeper than the other people. They just melt in front of her, you know?
They don't melt. About half the time when I approach it that way, they will move me forward. It's a numbers game.
So
follow
through.
It doesn't happen every single time.
So follow through. What's the next step if you're doing Larry's search form?
All right, Larry, you're looking for controls engineers. They might be called manufacturing engineers. Would that be?
No. No, they're
not. They will be called control engineers?
Yes.
Okay, so they won't carry manufacturing or mechanical engineering titles?
No. They may be an electrical engineer or a mechanical engineer by degree, but their title is, you know, controls engineer.
It's always controls engineer?
Yeah.
It's always controls engineer?
Yep.
Okay.
It's a specific title.
Okay, because sometimes when I call, she'll say, well, we don't have a controls department. And, you know, then I have to think in my head, well, what department might they be in?
It could be the engineering department, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that would be a very,
that would be your
default? Safe fallback. Yeah.
Okay. So she says to you, well, we don't have a controls department. And you would say, well, do you have an engineering department? Can you put me in touch with them?
Sure.
And she'll say, yes, just a moment. Before you let her send you anywhere, interrupt her. And say, before you send me off, in case I get disconnected, can you tell me who are you sending me to?
Okay.
That's a reasonable request. And she'll usually tell you, many times she's sending you to either the head of the department or to the administrative assistant to the department, depending on the size of the group. So, but you will know this information before you call because you've kind of scoped out these companies before.
Correct.
Yeah, okay. So you know a lot of these companies and you know how large their departments are likely to be, so on and so forth. Okay.
That's a big assumption, Maureen. You know, you're not working necessarily the same territory again and again. I call companies. I don't know how many people are in them.
You do a little research on them.
I don't know
you
how
do
large the department is.
Okay. Well, you kind of do, Michael. If you go to Hoover, I use Hoover's for all my setups. And I will give it a bird's eye view. It'll tell me, you know, there are 1,000 people at the company. And then I'll look to see how many locations they have. If they have 10 locations, I'll know that the majority are at headquarters and those 10 locations might be sales offices. And those are usually, you know, 10 to 15 to 20 people at each. It's a numbers game. And when after you're in this a while, you just kind of know that.
So you
Larry,
can,
would
yes,
you agree
you're
with
you're
that?
Saying,
yes, totally.
In
so,
your space,
so,
you know that. Mm-hmm.
Larry's going to know how he has an intuition as to how many controls engineers are in that shop.
It's not an intuition. Well, yeah, I guess it is kind of an intuition because he's in that space specifically, so he knows that industry. And
next
they're
step.
Likely to be similar size, you know, from shop to shop. If they're doing the same kind of volume, that kind of thing.
Next step.
Mm-hmm. Larry?
Maureen.
Oh, I want to hear from Larry. Larry?
Yeah.
You still here?
Yeah.
Do you think that would help you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Because
yeah,
at least
you
I'm
see
getting
the logic
at least
in
I'm
that?
Getting a name, and you know, if the person does connect me, then at least I know who I'm talking to. And again, you can, you know, do the same thing. Hey, I'm looking for, you know, this, or that individual would be one that I could use for the, a specific search. Obviously, I already have his name if I did, you know, if I hadn't had it prior. So, yeah,
well, there's more to this. When she transfers you, what's likely to happen?
Voicemail.
Voicemail.
That's right. 8 out of 10 times you're going to hit voicemail. So what I do with that is I will go back to her.
Okay.
And I'll say, well, I hit voicemail. What was he? Is he the VP of engineering? And, you know, I'll just kind of extract little bits of information at a time. Is there anybody else in the department we might try? It's not so much imploring her, but it is kind of, is there anyone else in the department we might try? And she, so at that point, she's going to help. She's helping you because she's got her time invested in you.
Right.
You know, this is entirely an understanding of human nature, this business. The more you understand human nature, the better of a phone sourcer you are, in my opinion. So in that way, she'll keep moving you along, and you might have to come back to her 2, 3, 4, 5 times. By that fourth or fifth time, you've got a pretty good idea how that department is structured. Because
mm-hmm.
she'll usually start sending you from the top down, remember that, and she'll start sending you from person to person to person, and pretty soon you might be down into the individual contributor group. And that's where you want to be anyway, right?
On some searches, yes.
Okay.
Thanks.
Well, I hope that answered.
Yep.
Anybody
now,
else have searches?
Back,
what?
When you go back and talk to the receptionist again, do you continue to, like, ask for titles, or do you say,
well, I try to sound, my technique is to sound like a mind-numbingly bored secretary, like I'm just doing a job, I'm just trying to get through. Without elaborating what that job is. So when I go back to her, I will say, Gina, her name is Gina, I got his voicemail. Is there anyone else there we might try? And she'll say, well, yeah, just a minute. And again, before she sends me, I'll say, Gina, again, before you send me, who are you sending me to? So I know who I'm talking to when he answers. And she'll usually tell me the name. And sometimes I'll press her, and what is his title? It just depends on what I'm hearing in her voice. I'm
okay.
Measuring her cooperativeness. I'm getting to know her in these very few exchanges that we're doing. Does that help?
Yep. Yeah.
Makes sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Anybody else have questions? Does anybody else have searches that you're having problems with?
I
you're
do.
Using that tone of voice, the same tone of voice you use with the receptionist on these guests, right?
Am I? I heard somebody say I do. Who was that? It was a female. Who was that?
It was Noelle from Columbus, Ohio.
Hi, Noelle.
Hi.
You're from Columbus. You're right up the street.
Yes. You've came into our company before. And done
okay.
So. I am looking for actually outside sales representatives in all over the country, really, but Nashville is an area for us. And I call into the smaller distributors that we're looking to recruit from, and I always get the same answer, you know, where are you calling from? If I say, who's your sales rep that covers the greater Nashville area? They say, well, what company are you calling from and what area are you calling from? What do I say?
Okay. Noelle, what industry is this?
We're a distributor of, like, maintenance and repair and tools and things like that. So
okay.
I'll call into
okay.
chemical companies or competitors. And
all right. All right. So you're calling into their individual sales offices that are out in the field?
Or right, or their headquarters, yeah.
Okay. So these are probably larger companies.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a headquarters, and then they probably have field offices out of which they have sales reps, maybe
well,
a sales manager.
Well, I'm talking more I call into maybe like a local like mom and pop distributor.
Uh-huh. Okay, Michael had this problem before. Okay, so you call. Tell me what you say.
I say
hi.
I just say hi. Can I speak to the outside sales rep that covers the Nashville area? I try to keep it as vague as possible so I don't sound like I'm a recruiter. I mean.
Okay, well, one thing you're not doing is you're not identifying yourself. You need to remove the mystery. I don't know if you've ever heard me say that. But when you call into a company and she answers, and she's likely to say her name, Would you agree with that?
Yes.
Let's say she answered, she said, ABC Company, this is Judy speaking. May I help you? Hi, Judy, this is Maureen Sherub. Can you tell me, I'm trying to locate the sales rep for the greater Cincinnati area. Can you tell me who that is?
Sure.
Chances are she's going to tell me.
Well, if they have multiple sales reps in one area and they want to, you know.
You want them all, right?
Right.
Okay. A couple things you can do. You can work her for the names, okay? So she gives you the one name. She's given you one of the names for the greater Cincinnati area. But let's say there are six. And she might make a remark. She might say, well, what area code? If she says that to me, then I know that there are probably multiple people in the zone, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And so I will say to her, well, in case I can't reach him, and I will ask her for his extension number or his direct dial. In case I can't reach him or her, is there someone else there I might try so I don't have to bother you again? And she may give me additional names. Now, one thing I like to do with sales offices when I'm calling across the country is go into them at night because they're usually not very large, and they usually have all their people listed, and they usually have the sales manager listed first, followed by sometimes the administrative assistant for the group, and then the sales reps. There might be three or four or five of them, and then the sales engineers last. There might be one or two of those. So once I have that, I will call in the next day to try to ferret out the titles.
Okay.
Have you done any of
question.
That?
Last question, Maureen. How do you ferret out the titles, and then we have to go?
Okay, but let me ask Noelle. Have you done that, Noelle?
Okay, yeah, finish up with Noelle.
Yes. I mean, I'm actually recruiting for people in Nashville, Tennessee, and I'm located in Columbus, so I have to do everything either on the Internet or over the phone.
Okay. So you call into the Nashville, Tennessee offices.
Right.
Correct?
Mm-hmm.
And you're calling into some mom and pops.
Right.
Right. And sometimes the person that's answering the phone is handling sales, aren't they?
Yes.
Okay. But those are too small for you. You don't want those.
Right. We only want the people that are outside.
Outside sales. So once mm-hmm. you discover that the person answering the phone, she might be an admin, she might run the office,
mm-hmm.
plus she handles the sales, incoming sales, you don't want that office because they don't have an outside sales rep. So you just go on to the next company.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And then when you find a company that has three or four or five outside sales reps, you want to know who they all are.
Right.
Okay. Do you think anything we've talked about here would help you?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah? Okay.
What? Ask her what, Maureen?
But what?
What's going to help her that you just said?
Well, to call the admin and you want to ask for one piece of information at a time. You don't want to call Noelle and say, can you tell me who all your sales reps are?
Right.
Remember,
yeah.
You want to say her name back to her. There's a reason for that. You know, people like to hear their names. Hi, Judy. This is Noelle. Calling from Columbus. You can say calling from Columbus. can you tell me who the sales rep is for the Nashville, Tennessee area? And she's likely to tell you. Try it.
And
give me a call. Let me know if it doesn't help this week, okay?
Last question I'll ask. How
does
she get the other reps, the other national people on the team, on the national sales team?
All right. It's a good question. One thing she can do is call at night and do their phone directory. It's likely that everybody in that office or most of the people in that office will be listed on their phone directory. And then the next day she can call in and she can go at the gatekeeper and say, I'm trying to reach Tom Jones. I'm not sure. Is he the sales rep for the east side of Nashville? She doesn't know. She's just kind of taking it to her. And it's likely that gatekeeper will either correct her or affirm her information.
Mm-hmm.
And then she can say, and I also have Peter Jones listed. Is he the sales rep for the west side of Tennessee? You know, you just kind of roll with it like that.
Sure.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And if she says, why do you want to know? Why are you taking this information?
You're stinking
thinking.
You get that a lot, huh?
Yeah.
Because of your approach. You're calling and you're saying, you're not saying her name. You're not identifying yourself. You're not removing your mystery for her in any way. You're just asking her for information without giving her anything first. Give her a little something first. Let her know who you are. Remove the mystery. And you don't have to say, I'm Noelle calling from. Just say, I'm Noelle. Give her your last name. I'm trying to reach the sales rep for the east side of Nashville. Can you tell me who that is?
What if they do ask me what company I'm calling from, which that does happen a lot. They'll ask, where are you calling from? And I'll say, you know, I'm calling from Columbia.
It's happening, Noelle, because you're not identifying yourself up front. If you get in the habit of identifying yourself up front, you will see a drastic reduction in that. And if they do ask you, just tell them who you're calling from. But if you do what I suggest, if you
Noelle,
say her
don't
name.
Don't tell them. Don't tell them.
You don't have to tell them. You can always just hang up the phone, Noelle. If you get freaked out, just hang up the phone. But do what I'm suggesting for a week or two, and then call me and tell me what the results have been. I think you're going to be surprised.
Okay.
And I think
you.
You're going to be happy with it.
Okay, Maureen, I'm sorry. We didn't know we'd have so many callers, and I cut your time in half. So if
okay.
they are interested, they can call back 2 weeks from now, 1 o'clock. We'll be having the 1 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. We'll be having the same show again. When Maureen's open, she's more than happy to answer all your questions. Her voice changes when she answers the questions. I'll point that out another time. Thank you, everybody, for calling in.
Bye, everyone.
See you next time.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye. Bye.